Hello, this is Ryan Havlik speaking. We are here at the Hotel Palach, close to Palachka University Olomouc, and I'm happy to have here with me Professor Glenn Kirkham, and we are going to discuss matters about Kindy Me. So what is it about the kindergarten's effect of inclusion for migrant children and the families? So since we are here in the Republic of Czech, where do you see the possibilities for multilingual children, and when they go to kindergarten and they evolve to be pupils and go on in their lives?
Currently, the issues for multilingual or plurilingual children is problematic in the Czech Republic because it is not part of the curriculum, and there is a clear desire that anyone who lives in the Czech Republic must speak Czech.
Yeah.
The opportunities to speak other languages do occur outside the public sector, with a small number of exceptions, those being close to the Polish border and the German border. In simple terms, the public schools seek to, and the Matejski scholars seek to promote the teaching and learning of Czech.
Elementary schools. Yeah, but it's the same as in Austria, of course, but there is support in mother tongue tuition. Why is mother tongue tuition not an issue here in the Republic of Czech?
The mother tongue tuition is not an issue because it's chosen not to be seen.
Yes. Because, and what I was wondering a lot about was, you discussed yesterday during our webinar conference that the Republic of Czech just exists since 92 in some sense, and that's true, so it's a very young republic. But if you look at the migrant population here in the Republic of Czech, they come from way back. I mean, they're coming from Vietnam, and the ones who took over Tesco, they came because they were going to their good brothers back then. So there is a population.
There is a population. There is a population which is self-serving. And I think this is one of the issues we didn't touch on yesterday. And it's an area that I would like to discuss with you with regard to the project. Because when parents came with their children to the Czech Republic from Vietnam, for example, they came without any Czech. They worked very, very hard and did jobs like many other migrants have done from many countries into many different countries. People with doctor's degrees, teaching degrees, law degrees, came and worked as labourers, as shopkeepers, just to survive. This is the principle.
Of course.
Because their qualifications would not be recognised and so on. And they did not have the language. So they worked hard, but they made sure through education that their children went to Czech schools and learned Czech. Now, the children are learning a totally different code, symbolic and oral and aural. So they had really big issues, but children are very able. Back to the Chomsky.
Yes, of course.
And all the latest brain research tells us, although some things slow down, the synapses do not stop connecting. And by activity, they do create the opportunities. Even at my great age, I have the and it is through desire and it's through need. And many of them have been successful, both in business, particularly in business. But what happened, and I think this is critical in relation to your project, and you might want to tell me how you see this, the older children were the translators for their parents.
Yes.
So when it came to issues to do with working with the ministries for labour and with the police, because you had to register as an alien, then, and certainly for residents there, the Austro-Hungarian Empire left a great legacy of bureaucracy.
They're good in this.
Which has not been forgotten in any shape or form. And when they came to have to deal with that, yes, some of them were able to pay for some legal advice. But in most cases, it was the 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds who were there with their parents translating. And equally so, when there were meetings with parents and teachers in the kindergarten, in the schools, in the elementary schools, the older child would be there to translate from the teacher speak into the Vietnamese or whichever tongue.
Yes, I see this. And we in schools in Sweden and in Austria, of course, we have mother tongue teachers who are doing this, who are really helping them in the schools and to help the conversation. But I think it's very important that you have actually multilingual or the plurilingual social workers also in the field, in the agora where they work, not only in the institutions, because life is not just happening in these two institutions. First of all, they're kids. They are not pupils, they are not students.
No.
So it's to see them as hybrid identities, as kids, and to gather them around, and it takes a village to raise a child. So, and that's the idea of actually an education in an area. Right. And that's what I also think is very important, what you said yesterday about Basil Bernstein. Of course, it's, and probably you also know the big study by Paul Willis, Learning to Labour. Yeah. So, of course, what we do have a phenomenon here in, I think, in Republic Czech as in Austria as well, working class kids get working class jobs, and these people are multilingual, migrant with migrant languages, and so they are forced to stay also in this area. There is no way that they are going to middle class society. And this is a lot to do how different approaches were. And because in Sweden you have the free kindergarten. You have the free kindergarten. So if you have the free kindergarten, the mother can go to work. If the mother can go to work, they both have money. If they both have money, they go to different areas. Mm. And then my students always have to finish the sentence. And the kids go to different schools. Yes?
Okay.
So this is something which happens.
Yeah.
And this, they don't arrive in middle class. And they even have free meals as well.
Okay.
So this is something
I think one of the differences then that actually is relevant to the study as it relates to the Czech Republic compared to Austria, compared to Sweden, compared to the UK or Scotland, because it's a disunited kingdom, is that none of those other countries were part of a former socialist state. One of the things that surprised me moving from the UK was that the in the UK, you know, if people have good jobs or not, because they tend to live further out from the city now. Although some are moving back because they've all sorts of financial reasons and some social reasons, and some are to do with actually the life of a city rather than the life in a village. However, as they grow older, they tend to migrate from the city outwards. And this is a phenomenon that's known in migrant terms, because in the UK, as I said yesterday, it's a country of migrants. And we had a great number of people from Ireland who came as migrants at all times, but particularly during the 19th and 20th century. And then, because there was a need for their labour. And then there was the move from the former Commonwealth after the Second World War. Now, this is relevant. What I'm saying is, so there's this movement into the city, into the poorer areas, because they didn't have the money, and some of them were rejected. Irish people were rejected. You can come in, it would say, if you're not Irish, no animals, no Irish. And then that was also applied to people from the former Commonwealth. And slowly, those groups, the Irish and those from the former Commonwealth, former Empire, and part of the Commonwealth, they have now taken over, and they're part of the middle class.
Yeah.
And we have MPs, we potentially future prime ministers who are from that background. And it shows that the potential to rise. What I found was strange here is that there will be a block of flats, what here is called a panelaki, which is concrete blocks.
Yeah.
And people who are doctors, lawyers, street cleaners, and so on, all live in the same block.
Yeah.
Now, that's a phenomenon that was one of the many culture shocks here. So how does that apply to what is happening in terms of the opportunity? The opportunity is about for the rise of those, because there is almost zero unemployment here. Now, that can't be said for most European countries.
No.
But there's a population only of just about 10.5 million. There's quite a lot of expertise brought in, but there are also quite a number of Czech people who work in the UK, for example. I know this because when I take flights,
of course,
Fridays and Sundays, people flow backwards and forwards. But they're not operating like those who come from the Ukraine into the Czech Republic. Or from other parts. They are not migrants. They are simply workers who are taking advantage of the opportunity to have freedom of movement and freedom to work where they choose. How does that come back to your project, though? Because in the former socialist states, the divisions between the classes was not so great. In fact, it was a disadvantage to be part of the middle class. At some times in the history. And I think that's really, really important in terms of developing anything. We can't ignore what has gone before. What we can do is to see what is the present and what might be our potential vision for the future.
What is interesting for us is, of course, who gets preschool education in the Republic of Czech, who gets free preschool education in the Republic of Czech. And this is what we saw in the UNICEF reports. It's not really happening a lot. And it's from plurilingual kids. I think of course, it's most important that they get to know the target language. It's Czech here, it's German in Austria. And of course, it's normal. They have a right for their own first language, for L1.
Yeah.
So of course, they speak in their L1 with their parents. But there is a need from the state, from the states, from the republics, from Austria or the Republic of Czech, to bring them to kindergarten and to have them in an area where they are getting used to hear Czech or German, and then to raise with these long years. It takes a long time. You know how long it takes for language acquisition, and you need to, between Bix and Carl, but I don't have to tell you this. I mean, and also to get to know and to be, and also to have the moment to be silent. I mean, in Austria, you only have 1 year obligatory kindergarten, and then the last year before going to school, this is not going to happen.
This is another vestige of the empire, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Because the requirement is now.
Yeah.
And it is relatively new. They can have up to 3 years, cost free. It's almost compulsory, it is within the law, to have the year at home prior to the beginning of school, age 6.
Okay.
But the state would like a minimum of that 1 year before entry into school. The 3 years before, so that's ages 3, 4, and 5, it is possible. One phenomenon, again, which is a phenomenon which, again, was a bit of a culture shock, is how dependent families, working parents are on babichka and dodicek, which is grandmother and grandfather.
Okay.
And so there is a... you probably know the story of Babushka, in Russian. Babichka is the same, but it's a grandmother figure who will look after the young children. Now, those are the ones who tend only to have the home language in plurilingual situations, in migrant situations. The Vietnamese who came in did bring sometimes with them their grandmothers. But there was no... Well, they got to do lots of menial work because they too need to survive. There's no, and state pension here is not very good. So it's very, very, very low. You could not survive just on state pension. And there is no... Again, another culture shock with the lack of... this may sound irrelevant in terms of kindergartens, but actually is a great dependency on the need for the right sort of funding streams to support families in the variety of situations they find themselves. There is an old Irish saying... When you look at any situation, I could tell you the whole story, but I'll just keep it short. But the end of it is, if I were you, I would not start from here. So I think that without... They had a velvet revolution too. There was no... and that is significant. And there is also another dependency... What I mentioned yesterday, and I will ask this further, was in relation to teachers and their professional development. Teachers, this is a recognised phenomenon here, teachers in the Czech Republic are the lowest paid in Europe. Absolutely, there's no doubt about that. There's been a promise of a pay rise. I was involved in some of the competence development work. But there was involved in a pay rise, which has been promised and promised by different ministers, but has not
happened.
Again, there's a promise this year, yes, it will happen. But and if you look at qualifications, which group of teachers are required to have the, in the Czech Republic, the least academic qualifications. Where would you say that phenomenon is found, Rainer?
Where is it found, or why is it?
Where
is it found?
Well, at which stage of education is the least academic?
Elementary education, probably, I guess.
Absolutely, the kindergarten, the Mateuszki school, the least well qualified are allowed to become Mateuszki Szkoły teachers. Now, there was a late signatory to the Bologna and Lisbon.
I know. This it's also not an academic profession in Austria, and they also don't have it. They have 5 year schools. I mean, we have really adored teachers in our university college who have both, who know, who were professional kindergarten teachers and are. Became primary school teachers, and they're very important because they see a whole perspective of the child, and this is very interesting and fruitful also for our teacher education. But yes, I see this. It's really something we miss, that there is no support in the education of primary school teachers, education of elementary school teachers, to be really highly qualified to see this and to be able. And of course, if they are not well paid, and if they are not also not motivated, and they have to also, these contracts are changing all the time, you can't ask them to engage endlessly. Yes, I mean to engage endlessly about this. For the, what's considering me about these plurilingual kindergarten teachers, they are always, at least in Austria, forced to be assistants. They are never the head of the kindergarten groups.
No, the heads are qualified, mostly. The heads are qualified teachers. They have their master's degrees, the same. as the other teachers.
And is this something I deeply miss in Austria and I guess in Republic of Czech as well? Because you need to enable these persons. Mm-hmm. They have to, what the small children shall see is not, okay, the one who is probably the foreigner is now going to clean the toilet as well. Yeah. And then I'm going to stay with my my kindergarten teacher, yeah. the white Anglo-Saxon, yeah. and she's going to teach, tell me what to do. Yeah. So you learn by doing, yes? Yeah. You see what is happening actually. So I think this is a big miss, and there is a lot of things which went completely wrong also in Austrian politics. Yep. I mean, when war broke out in Yugoslavia in 92, people came here, people came to Vienna, and they said like, okay, I'd like to work, I don't know, as an, I don't know, as a kindergarten teacher. Yep. And they said, no, you can't, because yep. what you need first is German, German, German. Yep. If you don't speak German and you don't have German qualifications, you can't do anything. And what's happening now? We are living, and they, what did they have to do? They had to go and work as waiters.
Yep.
And they remained in this job. They went into Tesco supermarket, but they never came out yep. because that's where they found their jobs.
Yep.
So they stay in, and then you create again working class kids, creating working yep. class jobs. So there is no way out of this situation, mm-hmm. and the state didn't do anything about this. And now we're sitting here, and we've got 70-year-old Serbian, Bosnian people speaking, and nobody can take care of them. And it's the same with the young children. Why not qualify them? Why not seeing that they need to be qualified? And that, so that we have actually faces of the middle class who are plurilingual, yep. and who have different backgrounds. Yep. I don't know how difficult it is to raise children in institutions of monolingual habitus. That's a nice word for the end.
It's no problem if you don't step outside the home. And if Babička and Dodicek don't go outside,
yeah,
then that's okay.
What is always troubling me is always, I don't know if I can translate this easily into English, because it's a sentence by Adorno and a power of Lars. Es gibt keine richtige Pädagogik in falschen gesellschaftlichen Verhältnissen.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? There is no yeah. How would you translate this?
Well, I think in such situations,
yeah.
There's no one single right way
yeah.
to manage the education.
Yeah, yeah, there is no single right view on pedagogy if yeah. the society is in the state it is now.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Where do we go from there, though? Because what we've both highlighted
now
is that the decisions that are made, which are generating the status quo, are political ones.
Mm.
So how can your project, for example, seek to influence political decisions? Mateschke Skoli or kindergarten children do not have to pass a PISA test.
Mm.
If they did, maybe that, or, and they're not close to the labour market yet.
Mm. Yeah.
Yet. And we do know, absolutely no uncertainty about this, that most of the jobs that the children who are now in kindergarten will do don't yet exist.
Yeah.
So all of these factors that are beyond control, what can we do to make sure that those children from plurilingual, multilingual societies in situations where they're home language, their L1 is different, are enabled and not disabled like Moshish yeah. in the film,
yes.
From demonstrating their capability, because it seems to me that the decisions that are made politically are the ones that have an impact on whether or not you ensure and require the pedagogic faculties ensure that they recruit the best. You want to throw some OECD things in here.
Mm.
Why does Finland and Singapore and now China do so well?
Tell me. About a teacher education. I think they are highly appreciated, the teachers.
Yeah.
That's what I know. They are highly appreciated group.
And in Singapore, there is a single pedagogic faculty through which all teachers go and through which all school leaders go. And there is another group of people, like the politicians. How do you influence the director, the Jeditel here, Jeditelka? And in the kindergartens, they're only women, so we don't listen to them. Actually, what I was really nicely surprised by is that the a nice culture shock was the equality issue. Very recent survey sees Slovakia, Slovenia and Czech Republic at the top of the equality stakes.
That's also the old times.
Yeah.
Because also in former German Democratic Republic, it was, of course, normal that women went to work and they had to provide, brought the children to kindergarten so that the German Democratic Republic flows. So this is something which is, of course, also deep in their minds and their bios.
So let's take a simple example.
Okay.
Which is, let's take an Austrian family.
Okay.
Who live on the westerly side of Austria.
Mm-hmm.
If you, I can imagine such a place, close to Italy.
Okay, yes.
Yep. And the job comes up in Prague for IT consultant, whatever. Well paid, because they do pay well at international companies here.
Mm.
And the person, man or woman, who gets the job, moves. But they only speak German, or Austrian German, maybe some Italian.
Okay.
They can get the job for a little while, but if they're going to stay for any period of time, they must go through the Czech language tests, and they must learn. And if they have young children, and let's imagine there is a two-year-old, four-year-old, and an 8-year-old, just, you
know. Yeah.
They're migrants, in one sense. They're economic migrants.
They're economic migrants, yes.
But they still count as migrants. They're not refugees.
No. Yes, I know.
No.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they are middle class society. So they are.
Well, let's forget the class, because the class issue here doesn't count.
But they know what education is about and what's the importance of education. That's also something what is deep in the roots as well. That's what you got to consider with these kind of workers going abroad.
They might know. So what will they do? Because one of the strange things, one of the phenomena I found strange here was that private schools are supported by the state for each child who goes there. And I think that's very bizarre. Either it's Aristotle's first principle, either something is or it is not.
Yeah.
So either it's private, therefore you generate your own income, or it's public.
No.
And if you choose to send your child to a private school, you should have to pay all the fees.
No.
You should not expect anything from the state. But let's assume that they come across as a form of migrant.
Okay.
What would you expect to be their experience? What would you want to be their experience here? 2-year-old, 4-year-old, 8-year-old.
That they get a place in the kindergarten, that they have, of course, that there is in the kindergarten mother tongue teachers probably, or mother tongue supports, that who could help them as well, who could help the kids and to be German and Czech as well, so bilingual in some sense. And this would be also persons which would probably go with them to do the transition as well to the primary school, because of course there's a different institutions. Yeah. And there would be also, these persons could also be the ones who will help to parents to make them understand how Czech institutions work and how Czech institutions are understanding each other. So it's a, like a more, would be a job profile, a little bit more social worker and coach in some sense. And to coach the parents, coach the child as well, see how it's developing in language acquisition in L1 and L2, but also helping them to find like places to meet different people, to meet, to make friends, not to always just stay at home, and then homeschool, but I don't know, send your kid to play with Bohemia football or something like this, for the little ones, or find areas to get in touch with real Czech people and others, so that this is not an an aesthetic area where they raise their children. That would be it, I guess.
Okay. 2-year-old and 4-year-old won't have any problem because they'll just pick the languages up. And they will play. And we know all the background to that. The 8-year-old might find it difficult at first and might even get discouraged from school a little. The mother might also be working, or the father might also be working because in their own, or seeking to find work.
Yeah.
So they might not. But they would have a slight advantage here, because quite often German is the second language here.
Yeah, I saw it in Brno, yeah.
Yeah. So people have little problem with it. Russians don't have a problem.
No.
Because Russian was very much taught anyone 35 onwards is likely to be able to manage some or quite a lot of Russian.
Yeah.
And it belongs to the same language family anyway.
Yes.
So less problematic. Ukrainians get on okay. They manage through Slavonic language and a lot of economic migrants from Ukraine. One of the things is quite amusing for me in one sense. I did a conference, European conference, and I spoke about the Czech Republic as the land of disconnections. And this, there is no connection often, except in the best run schools, between what happens in one class and another. And the idea of freedom, which came from the Velvet Revolution, is misconceived, I believe, as an absolute right of an individual to teach as they wish.
Yes.
Although there's a generic overarching curriculum, the inspection regime does not inspect learning of that, for example. And some directors, principals, schools, and teachers are not good managers of the learning process. And that can apply also in some of the kindergarten schools, which is a regret to me, because, again, how can you actually operate, because it seems you're operating two conflicting concepts. One is absolute freedom, and the other is, oh, we care for the education of the child, the learning of the child. It is a conflicting concept. So that is a systemic issue. It's a political and cultural issue. And I use cultural in this, in the broadest sense. So when the Irish playwright, who's one of my favourite authors, poets, playwrights of all time, Oscar Wilde, famously said once, comparisons are odious. Odious means obnoxious or smelly. And not odorous, that means smelly. Odious means it's not nice at all.
Okay.
It's a bad thing to do. And when you seek to look at one culture with another, which is why you can't just dump the Finnish style.
Yeah.
It took over 40 years of social, total societal change.
Yes, that's what I see.
Yeah.
That's what it needs.
As I said yesterday, 1992, no time at all.
Okay, so you see prosper future.
Well, my hope is the future.
Yeah.
And I do see really strong pockets.
Mm-hmm.
But those pockets are not emblazoned on the side of the wall in neon lights to show the rest of the world.
Yeah.
They're quiet places. They just do an excellent job.
Okay.